B-Pod Studios.
Toucher. No police were called.
And Rich.
I am somewhat of a superhero.
Toucher and Rich. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Again, another quick three. He got it. Four straight for Marcus Smart after he missed 20 in a row. And the Celtics lead by 17.
Heat check on top of heat check.
I mean, nothing in this world beats the Marcus Smart freeze check.
98.5 The Sports Hub. The Boston Celtics coming off a big win in Philadelphia and a dominating win at home last night against the Pistons.
They're going into the All-Star break winning 12 of their last 15. Not a bad way to do it, especially after all the panic over the past couple of days.
Which is odd because of the drama. You would think that things were going way worse. Danny Ainge is the president of basketball operations for the Boston Celtics. He joins us now on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Hello, Mr. Danny Ainge.
Good morning.
Kyrie Irving has missed the last couple of games, and there's talk that he would play in the All-Star game despite that. I'll ask you, it's a two-part, but I'll ask you the first one first, which is redundant. But do you have a problem with Kyrie Irving missing the last two games and playing in the All-Star game?
Well, I mean, I would just say that it depends on that, but we will have Kyrie has to go to Charlotte anyway to participate in all of the festivities. He's coaching the rookie game. He's got family there, and they have, like, they're going to spend their, his family's going to spend their time down there. He has some business dealings going on, and that's where he was going to spend his time anyway. So he has his full-time trainer and physio. Those guys are down there, and I totally trust both of those guys with Kyrie, and Kyrie will be looking for a gym and be doing basketball things in some of his free time. And if they think that he can benefit from running up and down the court, because he has to do some progression before he gets back out on the court for our game Thursday night. So I don't really have a problem if everybody, including Kyrie, is feeling 100% and the two guys that are with him from our staff are 100% behind it. I have no problem with it.
All right. So, like, he would have to be 100%. Do you see that from not being able to play in a game on a Wednesday night to being able to play an All-Star game on a Sunday, is that enough time, in your opinion, to get 100% healthy based on what you know about his injury?
Yeah, because, you know, he wasn't 100% for last night's game, but he was very close, and we hadn't been able to do the progressions just to get him back out. And so it's not anything that we expect him to play when the All-Star break returns, and you can't just return to play without doing things on the court over this next week.
Okay, so this is obviously...
Wild must feel good about himself.
What's that?
Danny Ainge saying that playing in the All-Star game could help him, to which I...
Because he's going to have to... You can't replace an opportunity to play up and down. I mean, there's a lot of times when guys are coming back from injuries that we'll have a practice with our G League team, and they'll go, you know, full out. And, I mean, an All-Star game is probably less strenuous than that. And he'll probably not play a ton of minutes if he were to play. So, anyway, I do trust all of those guys, including Kyrie, that they'll do the right thing. And, you know, maybe not from an outside perspective right thing, but what the right thing is for him and to get him ready to play next Thursday.
Well, this has been a strange week because we went from, all right, the team's looking good, to this team is imploding, to, hey, this team's looking good again, all within a seven-day period. When you saw what Marcus Morris said after that 28-point collapse, what did you think of him being the one that said something, and did you have a problem with what he said in public?
You know, I don't have a problem with that. I mean, these guys are big boys, and you know, Marcus is an emotional guy. He cares about the team. He cares about how we're playing, and, you know, I don't necessarily think it's the best way, but I don't have a problem with it, no.
But it worked. I mean, I'm not. Who's saying that that's exactly the thing that did it? But I mean, don't you sometimes, as a player, Danny, you know, you can think back to when you played. Is don't you have to somewhat sometimes be embarrassed if there's a major problem? And doesn't embarrassment kind of provide you with, I guess, the motivation to improve?
Yeah, so I do think that that's true. I do think that most of the great athletes that I've been around, when they're humiliated, I would not want to play the next game against them. And I think that, you know, losing those two games in a row when they're teams that we should have beat, teams we had a lead on, we played really well, those were two tough losses to deal with. And I think that we were going to come out and play hard against Philly, whether anybody said anything publicly or not, just because I know how our guys would respond. You know, the team went through it and looked at it, and I think that those things can be handled internally, preferably. But, again, I don't have a problem with somebody saying they're, what's on their mind if they're asked a question about it.
Okay, Danny, there was a report that came out yesterday that many people within the Celtics organization think that it was Anthony Davis's agent who leaked out the information about Kyrie Irving possibly wanting to leave the team in order to get some sort of leverage with the Lakers and to make you the Celtics possibly think that he wouldn't resign. Do you believe any of that that's out there? Do you think that that information and that story that came out was put out there nefariously?
I do not. And I do, I don't know how it got out there, but I do not know.
Okay, so and I know we've talked to you about how you spoke with Kyrie after that, and it sounds like everything is, you know, kind of, I mean, you made the whole marriage thing, which launched a million Photoshops after you made that comment, which was pretty fantastic.
Making news again.
Making news again. After all that's done, do you still, when you talk to the rest of this team, there's, whenever a team has success without a star player, the media starts to talk and say, you know, do you really need this guy? When you look at Kyrie Irving and you see how the team sometimes plays without him, can you understand why some people watching the Celtics think that maybe this team could do it without him?
I do not, no. It's completely illogical and it makes no sense. If you just look at the data over the last 2 years, our team is so much. I mean, it wasn't but a month ago we were trying to figure out how in the world are we going to score without Kyrie on the court, and everybody was struggling and going through their challenges. And I mean, now you know, we're getting a lot of good play out of a lot of good guys. The last couple of nights, you know, Jason Tatum and Gordon Hayward and Al Horford are, you know, they're playing great basketball, and Jaylen Brown has you know, really stepped up his game over the last couple of months even, and really bought into his role off the bench. And so I feel like, you know, we just need to all play well. But Kyrie is by far our most efficient offensive player, without question. And our team, when Kyrie is on the court, over the last 2 years is by far more efficient with Kyrie playing than when he's not. And so, no, I think that it's ridiculous to think. Now, having said that, do other players like a bigger role when you have a guy that is your best scorer? Yeah, heck, when I used to play with Bird, I never didn't want Larry Bird on my team, but I got very excited when Larry or Kevin weren't going to play in a game that night. Because that, you know, that meant more shots and more opportunities, and that was fun. But I knew that to win the big thing and to win it all, you can't be without those great players, and that's how I feel about Kyrie.
Did you watch Isaiah Thomas's return last night?
I did, yeah. I got home from the game and turned that on, and that was really fun to see.
Okay, so one of the things that came out of this last, like, week and a half was that Anthony Davis's father made a comment saying that he didn't want Anthony Davis playing for the Celtics because he felt that you guys did Isaiah Thomas wrong by trading him after all that he went through, playing through his, you know, sister's death, playing through injury.
Injury, right.
What was your thoughts when you heard those comments?
Well, I'm not going to say what my real thoughts were, but you know, listen, this is tough business, and that was a very difficult situation for all of us. that we all went through, and I'll just leave it at that. But I respect Isaiah Thomas. I'm grateful for my association with him and all that he did for us and always will be.
Isaiah doesn't hold that against you, does he? Because you guys have spoken. You guys are still friendly, correct?
Yeah, I mean, I just reached out to Isaiah yesterday wishing him, you know, good luck in his return, and it was really fun, and he responded, and it's really fun to see him back on the court and, you know, made some big shots last night for them in a 2-point victory and contributed to their success. That was really fun to see.
So he's still friendly with you. I know you reached out to him, but he still has a positive attitude towards you and the organization, correct?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think that there's always, I don't know. You'd have to ask Isaiah the answer to those, but he has been friendly to me over the last year or so.
Word association, Anthony Davis' father.
Can't trip you up, Danny.
He's too smart.
Can't trip him up.
Yeah, let's not.
Suffice it to say, you didn't like it.
I just think that those are games being played, and I don't really pay much attention to it. We all know that this is a business. There are tough trades. There are relationships you develop, and that's by far the hardest part of my job.
All right, Danny, just to change the subject for a second, have you ever missed 20 consecutive threes in your entire career? And have you ever kept shooting after something like that happened?
I will say this about Marcus. He is, it's what we love about Marcus. He's just fearless. And
yes, he is. That's a word to say. Yes, he's fearless.
We're scoreless. And
I mean, sometimes he gets out of hand, but I really appreciate his determination and his grit. And, you know, come hell or high water, he's going to keep shooting that shot.
That's one way of putting it.
I think that that's the right thing. For us to be a great team, Marcus needs to make shots. At the same time, he does so many other things on the court that if he's not making shots, he can still contribute. But if he's not making shots and he keeps shooting lots of shots, then that's not good.
what would you call yesterday?
Have you been happy with his shot selection? How about that? Because there's sometimes where you go through a slump. I mean, I've never seen anything like that. But were you happy with most of his shot selection?
Well, I think there was a stretch this year. I could be wrong. Where, you know, one of the greatest shooters of all time is Klay Thompson, and one of the greatest shooters in the game today. And I think he went through like a 1-for-34, 1-for-35 stretch. So 0-for-20 doesn't really seem that crazy in a slump.
But Klay Thompson took all those shots in one game.
Right, but you know what? I mean, even good shooters have really good shooters have stretches where they. That shooting, you're going to have shooting slumps, especially from the 3-point line. And Marcus, the other thing I love about Marcus is in that 20 shots, I bet there were 3 or 4 or 5 even of those shots that were half court heaves, late shot, because he shoots them. Most guys try to protect their percentages and hang on to the shots and won't even shoot those shots. But that's another thing I love about Marcus. He doesn't care about the percentages. He's just trying to win the game.
Okay, so one of the great things that's happened over the last couple of weeks, I guess since the beginning of February, is Gordon Hayward has finally started to become the guy that we all wanted him to be when he was first signed with the team.
Ran the point last night.
Yeah, he looked good. He returned to the starting lineup. What do you think has happened during that time? Is this just a matter of it just took a little bit of time on the floor to get the confidence, the shot? What have you made of his emergence over the past couple of weeks?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like Gordon is playing with fun, and he's playing with force. His body looks healthy. He looks to be playing with confidence. Some of that confidence last night could be that, you know, like Rozier and Kyrie weren't there. He's clearly the next best ball handler and hit with Marcus. So I think that, you know, the opportunities are coming. Also, but it's fun to see. I mean, Gordon's worked really hard on getting himself back, and he's playing with a lot of force right now, and it's huge for our team. We may not win either of these last two games without not just Gordon playing, but like having a real good Gordon Hayward.
Yep, and the one thing, too, is if you look at those two losses that were back-to-back, the Clippers and the Lakers one, the one guy who the team really missed was Aaron Baines. What's the latest on his injury, and when do you expect him to return?
Aaron is... I'm not sure when Aaron's going to return. I mean, he will return, but it's, you know, probably later this month or early March, somewhere in there.
Okay,
he's probably a couple weeks away.
How'd you like those refs last night? Did you get to watch the broadcast and hear Tommy Heinsohn's honest criticism?
Yeah,
Tommy's the best, isn't he? I love that guy. Yeah, Tommy was good last night.
Yeah, I was thinking that the refs were basically messing up everything just to welcome Tommy back and make him feel comfortable.
Yeah, I was worried about his blood pressure last night. I mean, he needs a doctor by his side when he gets in those moods. So we gotta keep close tabs on Tommy.
All right, Richard Jefferson believes there is a small dumpster fire brewing with you guys. Is he correct? I would imagine, yes.
I don't know what that means. What do you mean?
I didn't say. He goes, we have a big dumpster fire in L.A., and we have a small dumpster fire brewing here in Boston. It's because you have the Anthony Davis situation. You have Jason Tatum saying, hey, I wouldn't mind being the face of a franchise. Why are you? You have a chance to win a championship with the team you're talking about being the face of the New Orleans Pelicans. That lets you know that things are brewing. So I guess, do you believe that Jason Tatum's comments in the pursuit of Anthony Davis or the perceived pursuit of Anthony Davis has caused any kind of problems in the locker room?
I don't think that the guys are trying to win the game the next night. We have a big schedule coming out. I don't even think that anybody's talking or thinking about any of that.
All right, so you don't think, what did you make of Jason Tatum saying he wouldn't mind being the face of a franchise?
You know what? I didn't hear or see any of that.
No.
That was a gut reaction.
That was a report that somebody said that he, like, there's no quote, I think, that.
So you're saying that somebody just, you know, in content wasteland, somebody just, a source just said that Jason might not be, like, being the face of the franchise.
Is there a problem? Well, it's not like he compared LeBron to Trump or anything, I mean. All right, Danny. Well, listen. Wait. You got more? You got more hot stuff?
At least it was a direct quote. It wasn't.
Yes, we thank you for the soundbite being everywhere, with the source being a Boston radio station.
Boston radio station. They don't get us on it now. Well, listen, Danny Ainge, have a lovely Valentine's Day and enjoy your big night on the town. And enjoy, I know you don't get time off, but probably a little less to worry about over these next few days. And hopefully Kyrie does the right thing and doesn't play in the All-Star game. I know that it's eating you out. We appreciate the time.
All right, guys. Good talking to you.
Hi, how are you, honey?
Hello!
This is where Boston talks sports.
I'm overwhelmed.
Toucher and Rich.
You can eat a lot at one sitting.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Beware. Son, I got to stay a Medusa with the rope tied around your neck. It won't get looser. I might shoot you. Make your ass an example. You can't fuck with your stocks.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. All right, Rich. There was a story that had you in our meeting laughing hysterically.
It's my favorite.
And I told you not to tell me.
It's not even a, I don't even want to do an Armpits of America. This is just, I was, let's just let it roll. Let's go to the local broadcast, shall we?
Here we go.
Call to Sedgwick County dispatchers started as a bomb threat when really it should have been more of a warning for those customers in the restroom.
We just had a customer here apparently made what may have been a bomb threat.
Okay, what exactly did he say?
He said, somebody told me there's a bomb in here. You need to leave the building. He said it three times.
Well, that's the 911 call that led police to the Home Depot at K96 in Woodlawn. Someone there told staff they overheard the threat in the store's restroom. Police did some investigating. They learned it was not a bomb threat in a literal sense. Police say a man was in a stall when he told others in the restroom, quote, "Y'all need to get out of here because I'm fixing to blow it up," end quote.
Someone said that was a bomb threat.
He's getting ready to drop a bomb.
I just see him like pulling up his pants like side to side like Farley.
I saw one news report describe him.
Who takes a dump at the Home Depot? Me. And by the way, what? There's like a lot of people in the Home Depot bathroom. Like, what's going on there?
It's like one of those places on the internet that you check. It's like a, you know, like a Larry Craig situation.
Like, what? Like, why are all these people in the bathroom at Home Depot? Like, how long are you at Home Depot for that you can't control yourself?
One of the news reports described the man as heavy.
Oh, you don't say. I'm fixing to blow this place up. I just picture, it's in Florida, just a bunch of, like, inbred fatsos, like, sitting around taking dumps.
I think it's, like, Kansas or something.
It is.
Or whatever it is. Kansas. I just figured it was Florida.
It's just, like, Kansas farmers. Yeah. They got to fix suspenders.
That's great.
Fixing to blow this blaze up.
God.
Drop me a bomb. I love how this woman's trying to, like, keep a straight face.
Ever been warned? All right, if you've ever been warned that someone's about to take a dump, 617-779-0985.
I've had a friend say it's fixing to get hot in here.
Well, yeah, a friend. I mean, have you ever been in a public restroom where everyone was like, get out of here, I'm going to take a big dump?
Hey, by the way, this newscast, there's a man on her right, a man on the left, but they said, let's give this lady the story just to see how she delivers it.
I just find it in Kansas, like, the toilets are so sacred, they have to go to the Home Depot. Can you imagine going to the Home Depot, you're there for, like, half an hour, and then everyone's, like, taking a dump?
Imagine being the poor guy who got a question about this. Sir, I heard you issued a bomb threat. What? Someone said in the bathroom, no, man, I had really bad bowel movements. And I just wanted to warn everyone. Just, you know, just, dude, like, it's courtesy.
Like, control yourself. You're at Home Depot for a half an hour. Like, everyone's like, whoops, okay, well, there you go. I just had the slightest inclination to take a dump. Now I got to get in there. Once you feel it, you know, you got to just go.
Imagine, like, your emergency bathroom break becomes national news.
I'm fixing to, you better get, because you know it was like with a wink. Like, he was like, you know, hey, like, he was proud of himself. In Kansas, they weigh him.
They give him ribbons.
He's like all proud of himself. He's got his thumbs under his armpit.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Yes, sirree. All right. This one's winning the blue ribbon.
Police did some investigating. They learned it was not a bomb threat in a literal sense. Police say a man was in a stall when he told others in the restroom, quote, "Y'all need to get out of here because I'm fixing to blow it up," end quote. One witness even said he laughed at the remark and took it as a joke. Once police tracked the man down, it became clear it was a misunderstanding. He said he just really needed to go to the restroom and he wanted to warn others of the severity of his need. Officers did clear up the confusion with Home Depot, and everyone here is laughing now.
How can you not?
Glad you read it.
I know. Why did I get stuck with that one?
He was just trying to warn them.
Kathy gets this one.
Yeah.
Why did
you get that one?
Dave Bob, Kathy's getting this one.
The severity of the bowel movement.
Jesus.
Oh, my God, Kansas.
Shall we go to another female reading the story?
Yes. give it to the bride.
He said, somebody told me there's a bomb in here. You need to leave the building. He said it three times.
Oh, what an idiot. And just a hick taking a dump.
He said it three times. Woo, get out of here.
He said it three times. I'm not joking. Like, this is going to be really bad.
I think he's just being a good Samaritan.
Hey, everyone that's going to the bathroom at the Home Depot, where there should be no one in here,
How do you even find the bathroom at Home Depot?
You gotta
it's like
ask.
People like at CVS, like when you're in line at the pharmacy where they ask where the bathroom is, and you're like, what the hell's wrong with you? Like, what? Like, no one uses the bathroom at a CVS. Like, there shouldn't even be one in there. You're in a series of restaurants and places. Like, what are you got to go to the bathroom at CVS? What's wrong with you?
Somebody said, what was Bob Wiley doing in Kansas?
Hey, can you spare one of O.J. Brinson? I went and I made a mistake. Hey, I tried cleaning off my drawers, but I got not any luck.
It didn't work cleaning it up.
Can you get me two of those aprons so I can put one on my front and put one to cover my butt?
Yes.
It would be nice because I made an emergency blow up. Everyone out. I'm about to take a dump.
Somebody said, as someone who's in and out of Home Depot and Lowe's for work, it's like people enjoy dumping in those places. Every stall is always filled.
I don't understand. It's like here, where when these guys come into work, the first thing is, hey, I clogged the toilet with my pants.
You're pooping on the company dime, which is, I wouldn't think that's liberating.
It's just they come into work, and the first thing they do is go to the bathroom. Like, who does that? Like, you don't have to be here at any specific time.
Well, some people have to clock in. It's, you know.
Yeah, but it's salespeople. They just come in. Like, they don't have to be here at, like, any time. I mean, there's some flexibility to it. I mean, you know, like, if you're not here at 8, like, they don't go crazy and, mm-hmm. you know, threaten to fire you. Just control yourself. I mean, I told you, my psychiatrist told me about peeing all the time, and now I have to pee constantly. I wouldn't do it at a Home Depot.
So police went out to the Home Depot, started investigating. They found out a man had rushed into the bathroom rather urgently. He told people, quote, you all need to get out of here because I'm fixing to blow it up. Mm. Once police found the man who said that, they figured out it was just a little misunderstanding.
Ooh, did you get the laughter?
Some words. Yeah, I got him into some trouble.
In the background after what, she said that?
That's right. Give Shirley the story.
I'm fixing to blow it up in here. Guy off camera is like, yeah, we got her.
Can you imagine if you're in a bathroom and someone just starts yelling that they have to take an urgent crap?
Somebody said the Home Depot bathroom is a very busy place. Picture big grown men who do manual labor for a living with horrible diets after a coffee in the morning. I got no problem like going to the bathroom and like, you know, like at a store. If I got to go, I have to go. I'm not like you. I won't wait. I'll just take care of it. But I mean, I can't
a
even...
A store?
Yeah.
Like, you go to Subway, there's, like, not a bathroom. Like, they don't have to have a bathroom. These places shouldn't have bathrooms. Jay, go ahead.
Hi, I found myself... My brother and I found ourselves at a Tex-Mex restaurant that turned into, like, a late-night bar. And the bathroom for men was, like, saloon style with the swinging door so you could kind of see people, you know, urinating. And he just couldn't, he had to relieve himself. And I advised him that there was a nice hotel across the street that you could go to, because I believe those are the best bathrooms in a lobby.
Oh, yeah. Without a doubt. Sure. That's your go-to ESL.
All right, so, okay, I'm not going to let you finish the story because I have two quick things to say.
So he said, smell something, say something.
All right. Yeah. Well, one time at work, I used to, when we worked in Buckhead, when 99X was in Buckhead, I was like a receptionist, essentially. And I would go to the hotel to take a dump, mm-hmm. but I would go to the second floor.
Mm-hmm.
And one time a conference got out and like just people started pouring in. But the my friend recently was in New York City and he was staying at a small hotel.
Yeah.
And they had like a transgender bathroom. Like that was the only bathroom.
Yep.
So he has to take a dump and he doesn't want to take a dump in the hotel room because his girlfriend's up there and they haven't gotten there yet. So he goes downstairs. And the line is like all these models. Like behind him. So he goes in there and he's in there for like 5 minutes. It's like
this one single toilet bathroom.
And he police got say out. A man was in a stall when he told others in the restroom, quote, y'all need to get out of here because I'm fixing to blow it up, end quote.
And so he's just like, to sheepishly come out and go, and then like wait for the elevator.
Oh, that's the worst.
Yeah, there's just a bunch of models.
By the way, this is the best point of them all. People say that the guy was still in Home Depot when the police arrived. So this one was going to take a while.
They tracked him down. He was the guy with the paper on his shoe. Well, that was a mature break. Very mature.
Now people
are NPR is doing the same story.
Tweeting me pictures of who they think the guy looked like. Oh. And I'm getting, what is the dude from Roadhouse who has the bear fall on him? That's exactly how I imagined him to look like.
Well, you don't have to listen to...
he just NPR really needed to go to the restroom, and he wanted to warn others of the severity of his need.
That's a good Samaritan. That is a good Samaritan.
Wait, don't tell me. It's postponed for the dumb story.
Miss something?
Wonder Woman was there, but she's lost all her powers.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now back to Toucher and Rich on Boston's home for sports.
98.5 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich.
This is the brand new Czarface with Ghostface album that comes out today.
Yo, 36 chambers, peace to Osiris. You can see the weakness of a man right through his iris. You can see the weakness
I talked to Esoteric yesterday, and he actually was in the same room as Ghostface, unlike when he did with MF Doom.
He wasn't allowed to, was he, with MF Doom?
No, MF Doom. But he's met MF Doom, but you have to go to Guam because he's not allowed in the United States.
Heard about that.
Yeah, he's
why?
Got apparently... He didn't, Esoteric didn't tell me this, but apparently what I am to understand is MF Doom has some child payments that he's due, that he has not paid.
Okay.
So he's unable to enter the United States as it is right now. You can watch us on twitch.tv and search the Sports Hub to watch the show live. Also get the Twitch app and search the Sports Hub.
By the way, Esoteric, he's in studio at 9 o'clock today.
Yes.
The album comes out today.
Yes. All right. So, Rich, you know, people are at spring training. We're going to talk to Shaughnessy at 8:20. And, you know, Shaughnessy has been griping that there's like no controversy. There's not a lot of talk about. People are trying to make a big deal about there being no closer and where's Kimbrel. By the way, the idea that Bryce Harper there's collusion because he hasn't been signed. Bryce Harper isn't nearly as good as people make him out to be.
He's coming off just a terrible hitting year for him. Average is not.
You can say that, but in years past, you would have a guy who is as good or even worse than him get signed for $1 zillion, and it happened months ago.
Well, hang on a second. I thought about this a lot because you're right. By now,
Robinson Cano.
Manny Machado.
Well, Cano's better.
Yeah, 10 years, $240 million, I remember. But here's the thing. I think all free agents in successive years believe that there should be a kicker of $30 or $40 million per contract. Maybe the owners have topped out here. I mean, payrolls are insane. The Red Sox are almost at $250 million. And the Yankees are over $200 million. Who else? I mean, there are three or four teams in the 180 to 240 range. Maybe they've finally reached critical mass, and those contracts aren't out there that Harper and Machado thought they would be. They're just waiting around hoping that someone's going to be stupid, and it's not happening.
Okay, if you're an owner, or your GM, there's question marks about both these guys. I'm not giving Machado the bank. Machado says he doesn't try. I mean,
that was one of the playoffs last year,
too. Things he could
say. And Machado's overrated. I mean, so you go in and you say, why? If I give this guy money, what is his incentive to try? And then with Harper, I have no idea why he expects to get paid like the way he thinks he's going to get paid.
Bryce Harper had a down year last year. But look at his numbers in total. I mean, it's like he's a guy that normally any other year he would have gotten a huge deal and it would have happened months ago. It is strange. I mean, to look at what these two guys were sitting out there, I agree with you with Machado. But as far as Bryce Harper's concerned, you can't tell me that it isn't weird that he's not on a team yet, because this is unusual. And the fact that there's a lot of people who are yelling collusion and stuff like that, I mean, I don't doubt that everyone's like, if I'm not going to pay it, this guy's probably not going to pay it. We're not going to pay this. And maybe it's just the fact that the amount that he's asking for is so utterly ridiculous that finally the league got smart.
How many times has Bryce Harper knocked in 100 runs?
Twice?
Once. And it was this year, this past season, and it was exactly 100. And two of the last 3 years, he's hit below 250. I mean, yeah, is that a guy you're going to pay $35 million a year for? And the thing is, Mookie Betts, who is better than both these guys, is due for a contract in 2 years. Betts has got to be looking at this and going, okay, I mean, if this continues, maybe I have to revisit what the Red Sox may or may not be offering
me. Sign an extension, instead of going to free agency.
And then sitting there until March. I mean, what's happening now directly affects Mookie Betts.
And so, if I'm Bryce Harper, if I'm the Nationals, I'm just like, we offered you a ton of money. Now I'm not offering it to you anymore.
Yeah, Harper's hit 30 home runs twice in 7 years and has driven in 100 runs once. And that was this past year in exactly 100.
What's his slugging percentage?
Slugging percentage is around 500 for his career. Last year, it was below 500. 2 years ago, 3 years ago, it was 440.
Yeah, I'm not giving him.
I don't know, Rich. I mean, look, he started really, really well, had a mammoth. 2015, he had 42 homers and had an on-base percentage of 460. But the last 3 years, he's been bad more than he's been good. Bad, relatively speaking. He still hits 25 home runs and drives in 80. But not a guy you're going to pay $35 million to.
All these guys are overpaid, but I just think that there's something different this year. And I mean, you could compare stats to the guys over the past couple of years where there was so much money that was being thrown out there, and these guys getting snatched up for ridiculous amounts of money. It just seems.
I think it's been trending this way.
And this is another thing: is that this free agency year has been hyped for how long?
Yeah,
I mean, it was like,
true.
Teams making space to sign the Phillies are gonna they're gonna make a move on both these guys. So you have that going in, and then when you investigate these guys, they're not nearly as good as you thought. So, I mean, I completely understand it. And even if there was mini collusion, I mean, I know in the 80s they found documents that these idiots, a bunch of billionaires, are signing documents and passing them along, like an actual paper that they found. But even if there is, like, mini collusion, good. I mean, this is there has to be a cap to this crap.
Sure, and then you've got, what's happening with Craig Kimbrell, too. I mean, there's several big names still out there, but they're all asking just for, like, absurd amounts of money.
And the thing is that it hurts baseball because there's no parity. If there's a team that can shove out $250 million, half the league is just like, well, what do you want me to do? I mean, then we're going to have to tank, and then we're going to have to get picks, and then we're going to have to hit on those picks.
You see, here's the
like
problem.
Houston and Chicago.
I was just going to say Houston did it perfectly. Houston, a couple of years in there, had a payroll of about $35 million.
Yes.
And it worked because they hit on all of their picks.
Right.
Guys like Bregman and I don't know if Altuve was a draft pick, but Bregman sure as heck was. I mean, they hit on all of their young players. Springer, all those kids. So good for Houston. They did it right. But the problem is because Houston was so wildly successful with it, other teams are looking to do the exact same thing.
Right. So if I'm a medium market to small market, that's what I got to do is I got to, hey, fan base, I got to take 4 years and crumble this thing down and hope I hit on all my picks.
I mean, how many guys are worth $30 million? Think about it. Really, even scaling things forward, even looking at payrolls as wild as they are, how many guys are really worth $30
million? I mean,
is Manny Machado worth $30 million a year?
In sports, that's not a fair question because what they're worth is different than what the market actually
would pay. I'm asking what your opinion is.
Well, I mean, most of them are pitchers.
Yes.
Honestly. Mookie Betts
is worth 30.
Is going to be.
He is one of those rare guys. A Gold Glover.
Trout's
the other. I was just going to say Betts and Trout are the only two.
Justice will end up probably being that. Not Justice. Judge. Aaron Judge.
Judge.
I don't even like Judge for that amount of money.
I don't know.
He strikes out too much.
He's also a megastar.
Goldschmidt might get a ton of money.
Yeah. How long before he comes up?
One
I know
year.
The Cardinals just got
He's
him.
Next
so,
year.
Oh, boy.
They'll pay him.
They're going to have to.
No, it's just if he wants to stay.
Yeah.
Because he's the best first baseman in baseball.
I would agree with that.
And he's really durable. And I'm not worried about him quitting. So he's worth a lot of money. But I just, if you look at Harper and Machado, they're not as good as you think they are.
I mean, with Machado, the White Sox stepped up with this huge deal right at the start. And he said, well, if I can get this from Chicago, I should be able to get more from someone else. It hasn't happened. He's taking meetings with San Diego, yep. Machado. Twice he's met with San Diego, who has not a chance of contending this year, and maybe next year they turn the corner. But San Diego doesn't have nearly the payroll as the White Sox do. And he's thumbing his nose at a White Sox offer? I mean, free agency is weird. And you have to read the market as an agent. You have to look and see what's going on, or you're going to get phone calls on St. Patrick's Day saying, why the hell aren't I on a team?
And then with Kimbrel, he's an old closer that I wouldn't give any money to.
Yeah, Kimbrel's 30, 31. I bet you he asked for 5 years. No one's going to give him five years.
I would not. So everything that these deals that these guys aren't getting, I think, are completely justified, and I don't care if it's collusion. Because they're not worth the money. And baseball is the game I enjoy the most. But I'll tell you this, is that when it comes down to these major market teams, it's no fun. It's like college football. It's like, you know, you just keep pumping all the kids into Alabama and Clemson. And then
I have no trouble with any of this. No trouble with the Red Sox pumping in money and winning championships. None.
Well, I was one of the guys doing the jumble yesterday trying to figure out why David Price's number was
changed. Have to get back to that because that's the greatest story of the day.
It's my favorite story of the day.
We will get back to that in the 8 o'clock hours. The David Price.
The mystery laid out before all of us.
Shaughnessy was right there. Mm-hmm. Going to have him on an E20. Shaughnessy was right there.
That's right. His changing of the number. If you know me well enough, you're going to know.
And then when you find out, you're going to go, wow.
That's Price saying it.
Mind blown.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's a good breath. Last night, yesterday afternoon, I got my back waxed. And this seems to be a point of that people are interested in, the male grooming. So I Instagrammed it. @FredTutcher is my Instagram. I don't have very many followers. But I did record this. And for better or for worse, that's coming up in just a moment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.